I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 34. We're moving through the year, Christian. It's exciting, I know. I don't know if we're going to get to our two key numbers, 44 and 45. I'm hoping.
I don't know either.
I'm hoping. But anyways, on tonight's episode, tonight's car, unfortunately, we're going back to NASCAR, so Nate would be excited. It's the 2010 front row, number 34. The reason I chose this car, though, was because of the sponsor, A&W Root Beer.
That's a good sponsor.
Good sponsor. Yeah. It was driven by Travis Quappel. So there we go. All right, let's move on. Tonight we'll talk quickly about NASCAR at Talladega. I didn't watch it.
Neither did I.
Okay, good. That'll be a short one. But one of our favorite here won, so that was good. We did have a nice second-place finish with somebody, and that was about it. We had guys running out of gas, and we had guys crash right at the finish line. But what else is new? And somebody did finish really well for this race, so very excited for that. All right, we will talk F1, COTA, a point race Titans, and a certain team begins choking. Yeah. All right. We had the Indy supposed to be 8 hours, but turned into the Indy 5 hours.
Yeah. Which.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. That was kind of a bummer.
Just a quick note before we get anything else. I did watch the Super Formula races from Fuji, they were about as exciting as the Indy 8 hour.
They were in the rain?
Well, yeah, race one was in the rain, and they didn't really get going outside of just some safety car laps, and then the second race was canceled because of fog. So,
All right. Oh, well, at Bathurst 2 weeks ago, they didn't cancel it because they raced through rain and fog.
Yes, I know. This is just different circumstances.
Yeah. All right. And then... I did watch the LMS race. I guess we could talk about that, but I don't know. It's up to you. We can discuss that. I was actually able to fit that in on Saturday morning, so that was exciting. All right, let's go to NASCAR at Talladega. A race to go before we cut it down. Chase Briscoe with the win. Todd Gilliland second. Ty Gibbs was fourth. Ty Gibbs was third. Darrell Wallace fourth. Nate's guy, Cole Custa, number 41. Is that the kid you raced?
No, it was Buescher.
Oh, Buescher and who? Wasn't it Buescher and Custer?
No, it was Buescher and Armstrong.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Not Marcus Armstrong.
No, Dakota.
Dakota, yeah. All right. Nate's probably a fan of him. Carson Hocevar was sixth. Tyler Reddick was seventh. Christopher Bell, once again, in the top 10. Zane Smith was ninth. And Nate's guy, Bad Brad, was 10th. However, Shane Van Gisbergen finished 11th. So, master in the ovals. Look out. All right. That's all I'm gonna say about that race. I didn't watch it. So next up, it won't load. This is hilarious. We have the Xfinity 500. I don't even know where the heck the race is. It won't load.
I think it's Martinsville.
Oh, it is Martinsville. Yes, it's Martinsville. Yep. Well, I want it load. That's all right. So this is almost this could be watchable. So that's exciting. Wait. All right, and it's points for what?
But speaking of Martinsville, well, actually, you know what? Do the points first. I know where you're going with this. We need to get on to the more important stuff.
All right, so the top four, right now the top four that are in are Briscoe, Bell, Larson, and Hamlin. The four that are out are Byron, Logano, Blaney, and Elliott. So, there you go. All right, one thing that is happening this weekend as part of the NASCAR race is damn it. Go ahead.
No. That was my question. I couldn't remember the date of this event, but if it's on the NASCAR weekend, this is perfect.
It is.
This will actually get me to watch on NASCAR.
Well, I think it's. Hold on. I'm trying to pull this up. Hold on. I still can't believe this is happening.
It's the second running of the MX 500.
Yes. Right. Hold on.
So the MX5s are going to run.
What is going
around? Around Mars.
I have no idea what's going on. Here we go. All right. The MX5 Cup race. On the website. It is. Hold on. Boy, this is really not like. Why is this such? God.
What are you looking up? Maybe I could pull it up quicker.
Nah, I got it. Nope, that's last year's, of course. I'm trying to find the entry list.
Ah.
Hold on. Here we are, Martinsville. Oh, great. Event details, hold on. Entry list, got it. All right. All right, we have 16 cars in this race.
16?
16.
Ah.
Could be more, but who knows?
Hopefully it's more.
Hopefully. Now, we do have one guest driver. I was kind of hoping that there would be two guest drivers. Mm-hmm. Is there a WEC? There's no WEC race this weekend, right?
No.
Okay, see, this is why I don't understand why this other driver can't be in this. Probably because of the car company he drives for.
Maybe.
Still. That he still drives for. Recently announced that he'll be out of whack. So, looks like all the top guns are in this from the series. However, one Earl Bamber is racing in this.
Yes.
Very excited. So I was kind of hoping that Nick Tandy might show up with this.
Oh, yeah. That would have been good.
All right. So it's a non-points race. Everything is happening. That's great. They give you the... they give you the times, but they don't tell you when the race happens. Fabulous. God, only in freaking NASCAR world can this happen. All right. So everything with the MX5 stuff is happening Thursday night. As well as the trucks. So it's a doubleheader, MX5 and the trucks. The 100 laps.
No. It's the MX-5s and the modifieds.
Oh, it's in the north. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Wheel and modified tour. Oh, actually, this is like the one night you want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, because cars will actually be passing one another without hitting each other. Yeah,
Well,
so
I mean,
this is fantastic.
they'll bump each other,
Actually,
but
I'm all for this. Yeah, I don't care. I'm all for it. Only in NASCAR. Anyways, so 6 o'clock Friday night, I believe this will be on YouTube, on the IMSA channel, I believe.
Yeah,
And
if it's not,
then the modifieds are after that.
yeah.
And that'll be on Flow, I believe.
If the MX-5s aren't on the IMSA channel, YouTube channel, then they'd
Channel
be on the Racer channel.
yeah, some so hold on, I will come back to this one
It's
second.
a 100-lap feature
Yes,
for the
trying to
MX-5s.
find kind of more information on this. Just doesn't have it. Sorry. Hold on. There's an article. Scrolling through. Calling the action. It will be on the IMSA and Racer YouTube channels with Tony Laporta and Matt Yoakam calling the race. And Shay Adam will be there also. So it should be fun.
Perfect.
I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. That was the big news there. Like the modifieds. That's Thursday night. So that I will be home for that. Excellent. All right. What should we talk about? Let's talk the Intercontinental race. Unfortunately, the race got cut. I mean, severely got cut short due to weather. I mean, it was like literally lightning and downpours.
Yeah.
And there was absolutely no way. After the rain passed, there was absolutely no way like they could have run in that downpour. So basically the guys just rode around following each other in a safety car situation. However, Kelvin Vandalinder, Christian Wirtz, and the Doctor. The Doctor now has 2 wins at Indy, one in MotoGP and one in four wheels.
He's just doing it all.
Doing it all. Lucas Stoltz and Mario Engel were second in their Mercedes. Rafael Marcello, teammate to the first place car, and Augustus Farfus and Ahmed Al-Zubar were third. Fourth, Random Vandals Racing, Connor Daly, Kenton Cook, and Connor DeFilippi. America. Fourth, Jan Halen and the RS1 team came over from IMSA were fifth. However, Team Australia, Chaz, Javier Mossart, Bull, and Will Power. What's that? There you go. Pretty cool.
Some stacked lineups.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool. Connor getting four, Connor, Kenton, and Chris, Connor. Connor, Kenton, Connor. Oh, God. Jesus. There's a driver lineup. Anyways, good on them. All right. That covers the Intercontinental race. I wish I could have had more. It was teeing up to be a good race, and then the rain came, and it was just like, and it all fell apart, and they all stood around like the longest time. All right. Sadly, I think that's not going to be an 8-hour race next year. I think it's a 3-hour race next year. Kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, well, in fairness, I think there's better tracks in the US that could,
For an 8-hour race?
yeah, that could have an 8-hour race.
Like Lime Rock?
Yeah, I
I mean,
mean,
honestly, if you have 25 GT car, 20 GT3, 25 GT3 cars, you could do an 8-hour race at Lime Rock.
yeah.
Yeah, just start at 9 and ends at 5. You know, I have no problem with that. Be fun.
But I mean, like, seriously, like there's better tracks out there
Yeah.
in the US.
Actually, probably Laguna wouldn't be bad.
No, Laguna would be fine. You could do Sonoma. Like
What about Barber?
I think Barber would be fine. I think any of these tracks would be.
Although Barber was interesting. Yeah, Barber for the first time hosted a Trans Am weekend. This weekend.
That's cool.
It was kind of cool. Yeah, it cut some of the TA1 race. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. All right, let's go to COTA. I wish we had the music for the Max Verstappen music.
We overplay it.
Oh, I gotcha. All right. What a weekend this was. Anyways.
Yeah. Sprint weekend.
Sprint weekend.
Again, not a fan of
the sprint
format, but that's just me being
you.
Yeah. So I just I mean, like, in this situation, did it benefit someone like Max? Yes.
Yep.
Is it in the big picture, is it necessary? Probably not. But that, anyways, that's a different discussion.
I got a question.
Yes.
This coming weekend, is this a spring weekend also?
No, I think it's Brazil and Qatar.
Okay.
That are the two remaining sprints.
All right. I 100% agree with where you're going with this.
Yeah. Sprint qualifying goes off, and shocker from that was the Hulk
qualified. The Hulk!
Qualified P4. That was great. And then Alonso was P5.
Mm-hmm.
So, great stuff. No problem. The Ferraris were right behind them, I think. No. Mm-hmm. No. Or further. Anyways. Ferraris and Mercedes just were still in the top 10, but not up in the front. Then we get into lap one, turn one of the sprint. And
what's the one thing on lap one, turn one at COTA you can't do?
Well, I think this just goes for any racetrack.
Yeah.
You need to make, in order to finish first, you must first finish. Right?
Right.
And the McLaren drivers did not do that.
No. Now, I will agree. Oscar was a little overly ambitious.
Before we get there, the two McLaren drivers get taken out from this, and then Hulkenberg has extensive damage, he lost his front wing, so he's in the back. And then Alonso, I think, goes halfway around the track, and then ends up having to pull off.
Right.
Because he took too much damage as well.
So the Hulk and Fred got pushed out.
Yeah, which stunk. And then out of all of that lap one chaos, Yuki was a huge benefactor of it. He went from,
he was, even though he had a wing stuffed under his car.
Yes, yeah. I think he picked up like something like six.
He picked up ten spots.
Yeah, it was insane. So this whole weekend was actually for his poor performance in qualifying, Yuki did very well in the races to make up spots and grab points, which was a great storyline in and of itself. Sprint race goes on, and they clean everything up. Max just kind of goes off into the distance. Russell's there in P2. He has a look at one point. And, I mean, I give him credit. He tried. And I think that was just his mindset of he didn't even think it was going to work. But you just, if you have a shot, do it.
Yep.
So I don't knock him for trying on that one. And then the race is just cruising along, like everything's fine, everyone's pretty much spaced out, and out of nowhere, we end up finishing the race under safety car conditions, because who else but Lance Stroll comes in and decides to just absolutely destroy Esteban Ocon.
Pretty much.
This race, in a nutshell, couldn't have been more of a meme than anything. Because it had the McLaren drama. Max gets even closer in the championship, and up to this point, and then a guy who has been under the radar for every bad PR event that he gets, anytime a camera's put on him, gets the light shown on him again in the worst way possible.
And we had a little excitement at the end of the race. We had Georgie trying to make a move on Max, but Max shut the door on him, and that was it.
Then after the sprint race, the discussion becomes who was at fault at turn one with both McLaren's retiring. You can continue from earlier on.
I'll be honest with you. I think in this instance, it was Oscar. He should have held line. He tried to make the move to the inside, but I don't think he looked. And Nico had every right to be there because he left the door open. And as well as Nico leaving the door open even lower, Alonso had a right to be there. Okay? Now, had Oscar continued to the outside following his teammate, I think Leclerc still would have slipped in between them. Was it Leclerc or Russell? I apologize. I think it was Russell.
It was going to be one of the... It was probably Russell.
Anyways, it was probably Russell during the sprint. But, like, had he just followed Lando, none of this would have happened. Now, do I think that any of these two were going to catch Max? No. They weren't. They weren't even close.
I think it's a total racing incident, and you can't put faults on either driver.
Yeah, no, I know. I was kind of leaning towards more might be Piastri's fault. I'm not saying it was completely his fault, but I'm just saying if you had a place to blame somewhere, it was probably on Oscar. Otherwise, yeah, you make a valid point. It's a racing incident. The funny aspect of the whole thing is both McLarens went out.
Yes. Yeah.
So now they got to go fix the cars. Fine. later in the day. Then, you got to hope that you do whatever. But now it just keeps Max in the window of being the top qualifier,
Yeah.
And the other aspect of this is I really don't know what Lando does on the start line. But he falls, like, does he just fall asleep there?
It's a weakness.
Because I'll be honest with you, if that was an NHRA drag race, by the time he goes, that race is over. Like, seriously.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say with this turn one incident, I think you can look at as both McLaren drivers could be equally at fault.
Yeah.
Should Oscar have switched back or cross back over like that aggressively, right. No, that was not the time to do it, because anytime you leave space, like, you got to assume someone's there, mm-hmm. especially on lap one. Where I would put blame on Lando is he chose to drive Oscar off to the edge of the track.
Yeah.
So had Lando left room for Oscar to stay on the outside, then this crossover wouldn't have happened. And does Lando hold the position? Maybe not. Maybe mm-hmm. Oscar still gets him. However, instead of Max getting 8 points on both of them, it's only 1 or 2 points.
Right.
So just taking a step back and looking at the race in whole, like, you can still lose points to Max, but you just can't lose points in big chunks. That's where it gets...
Yeah, fair point.
It gets iffy. The other bit out of all of this, before we get to qualifying, is comments that Zach Brown made about the incident being
the Hulk's fault. Yeah.
Now, when I saw that, totally disagreed with him. But also, I think the bigger thing out of it is this really shows the state that McLaren's in.
Yeah.
Because
yep.
they are so fearful of Max coming in and stealing this championship away now.
I think they are so afraid of anything they're just afraid. They're racing afraid.
Well, it's seriously. Well, I guess maybe not afraid, but they're just nervous.
Yeah.
And when you have that, when you have nervousness creep in, the confidence drops. And so now you don't know, you're starting to second guess yourself. You don't really know what you're trying to do anymore. And that's bad.
Right.
So we get into qualifying for the actual race. Just to kind of fast forward through it, Max gets pole. Great. Lando is second. Just ahead of Leclerc, and Piastri is down in sixth
mm-hmm.
or seventh, something like that. Clearly, like, not being able to run the sprint race hampers both cars, because Piastri just doesn't have confidence in the car after that. And then Lando is 0.3 adrift from Max. So even going into the race, it's like, that's a huge that's a huge margin. And in a season where qualifying margins from first to second have been much smaller than that. We get into the main race, and Ferrari and Leclerc do something different on strategy, and all the props to them. They decide to go on to softs to start the race, and lap one, turn one, Leclerc gets the job done and puts himself in between Lando and Max. And as the laps start ticking away, Max is just starting to pull out a gap, no problem. But I mean, realistically, I don't think Leclerc and Ferrari were going to challenge Max at all. So now you're just looking at how much can you defend from Lando and everyone else behind you to make the softs last longer. And I think Ferrari, from a strategy standpoint, played that race about as perfect as they could have.
Yep.
I think the only screw up was when the lap that they pitted Leclerc off the softs was when he was battling with Lewis, and they could have either They could have either just told Leclerc to let Lewis by, so that that way he could try and be closer to Lando in that mm-hmm. sense, or the lap prior after Leclerc got passed by Lando, that's when you should have pitted him immediately. So, and ultimately, as when the race came to an end, it didn't really matter, that one lap difference, but it would have just maybe bought Leclerc another lap or two. And at that point in the race, you never know. Interesting aspect there. Other than that, I mean, the race was pretty straightforward, and it was just more or less a battle for a second, and Leclerc did a great job of holding up Lando as much as he could.
Yes, I agree.
So, Yuki also had another great start on lap one and made up like another six places or something crazy like that. So he had lap one magic this weekend. It ended up paying off with points in the end.
Good on Yuki, you know. Yeah. Gets a, you know, good finish there. So, I don't know. I so now we move to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Go to Mexico, and the points gap is 40 points.
Yeah, 40 points.
Yeah.
Let's swing in and take a look at the points. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, and sorry, the other big point that I'm missing is Piastri only finished fifth or sixth in this race. So he was off the podium.
Right.
So not a great result.
It's
this door open for Max to make a charge.
It's 14 before first and second. Now, the cool thing about this is, with that being 14 points, these two are liable to get into one another.
Sorry, just to clarify, it's the season between, points between Piastri
season points between and Norris is 14.
Okay.
So that all leads you into these two could get into one another. Because at McLaren, we don't have driver status. But we're willing to let our drivers battle each other out, take each other out of the race, and let the guy in the Red Bull, who the car stinks, back into it. So blame on them. This isn't on the drivers at McLaren. This is completely on McLaren's management. Okay? I'm sorry. So Max... It was 100 points, I think, after Hungary.
Yeah.
And he's whittled out 60 points in five races?
Five or six, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not looking good.
And the gap is what, 40 or 46 points?
Yeah, and it's not looking good this weekend because this is going to be a Red Bull track.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd hope so.
So, and Ferrari and Mercedes could slip in behind Max at this track. Or the Aston.
I think the Williams might.
Okay, very good. Yep, and they ran good at Texas this weekend.
Yes.
They just got caught up in crap. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Max, Zach and the boys need to figure something out here quick. I just love it.
I am all for Max trying to pull off what looks like the impossible. Because this time last year, everyone was saying the same thing about Lando potentially pulling off the points upset. But with in being realistic, of these two drivers, who would you think would be more likely to pull it off? I would go with Max.
Yeah.
And
now,
and I'm not saying that he will do it, but he's definitely got a good he's got right. a better chance than most.
Yeah.
Now to do it. I don't think he'll end up doing it in the end, but I would love to be proven wrong on this.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think where something is even now, if Max doesn't pull off the driver's thing, the fact that he's got it down to 40 points is even more amazing. Mm-hmm. What is more amazing is Max has scored 306 points. Okay. Let's move to the constructors' title. Right. No one's going to catch McLaren. We all know that, okay?
Well, they've won it.
However, Mercedes is second at 341. Ferrari, 334. And Red Bull, fourth at 331. Now, what's more amazing? Of that 331 points, Max has scored 306.
Yeah, it's
potentially. I'm just saying, if things fall right, you know. Potentially the second place constructors' car. Only one driver is going to score the majority, like over 95% of the points.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the case in 23 where Max alone would have won the constructors' title for
but
them.
the car was dominant.
Yes, the car was dominant.
This is what makes this season even more remarkable. Mm-hmm. If he gets a top three, second or third, the fact that he's top five by himself is even more amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, because right now there is absolutely no way Williams is catching them because they only got 111.
No, and you wouldn't expect them to.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, but this is just, it's too funny.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, we go to Mexico. The circuit. Romanos Rodriguez. Sunday. Ooh, this is nice. It's a 4 p.m. start. That's fantastic on Sunday. That's after the Pats game.
Should pull up the
I have F1. I have the F1 site. It's got all times Eastern, 4 p.m. That's, I think it's either 2 or 3 down there.
There is no threat of rain, really.
Oh, good. All right. You know, how about smog?
That might be more. Don't have it listed though.
Okay. So no weather anomalies.
Yeah. It's...
All right. Well, another race I am looking forward to.
Yeah, and a turn one where
anything could happen.
Anything could happen. Yep. It's a long run down.
It's a long run down there. Hopefully Lando stays awake for it. All right. Yeah. That's exciting. All right. Let's move on to let's move on to news and notes. First up, welcome to F2 Colton Herta.
Yeah.
As he has signed with the high-tech team. I think that's a good move, actually, to run with that team. That's, what's his name? Ollie Oaks, the guy who used to run Alpine's team. Mm-hmm. And they are in the title hunt this year. So I think that's, because they have, they got the Luke Browning. They're sitting like, I think this is a good team for him to be with. Plus, the other kicker with this team is they are literally right next door to Team Cadillac in England.
Yeah.
So I think that's a plus there. Good to see. Glad that got resolved right away. Some other things. AJ Foyt Racing will be returning to, taking on an Indy NXT team.
All right.
So good to see that. Exciting. So we have a lot of these IndyCar teams now coming into NXT, which is nice. Nice to see. However, we still have one fault with Indy NXT. Still needs to be part of the Indianapolis 500 weekend.
Yeah.
In sports car news, Antonio Felix da Costa will be joining the Alpine hypercar team. And I believe he is taking Mick Schumacher's spot.
Yes, because Mick's not running with them next year, right?
Right, because Mick could be running here.
Yes, he could be.
So we won't speculate any more than that. We'll leave it there. Hold on. Some other news. Faf will be responsible for testing of the Lamborghini, the new Lamborghini, the Tamaro. How do you pronounce that? Why can't they just leave it as Huracan?
It's the new GT3 car.
Yeah, their new GT3 car. Faf is going to be responsible.
Yeah.
Yep. Faf will be responsible for testing that car. And they've also announced that James Hinchcliffe will return as their endurance driver. That's cool. It's exciting.
There's also news about the.
Oh, he's going to just do Daytona. He won't be doing Sebring or Atlanta. Well, that could change. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, it depends on
his Formula One stuff, F1 right?
Schedule, yeah.
Yeah, because he's actually starting to be more. Well, what's her name? Sorry, I didn't mean to say it like that. Lauren. What's her name? Laura. The woman that took over for Will. She's going to be having a child.
Oh, all right.
So I think Hinch is probably going to fill in her role. So possibly because she'll probably, I mean, I think she's planning to have the baby before the season starts, but I'm sure she's going to scale back just to be home. I don't think mom gallivanting around the world is. I think the little one is going to be missing mom. So, anyways, so all right, so maybe Hinch, yeah. Well, plus maybe with F1 IndyCar. Well, no, their schedule won't overlap. So, anyways. That's kind of cool. Other GTD news. Get Speed with Bartone. Now, these guys have been running overseas. The Bartone brothers, those guys are from New York. They're going to be, it's in particular Anthony Bartone. They're going to be running a GT3 car, Mercedes, at Daytona and the pro class. And now the one cool thing about this car is the paint scheme on it. It is Bartone Brothers Racing. It's all black and white, and it has the skull and crossbones.
All right,
which I love.
Didn't they run there last year?
I don't know if they ran last year.
I thought they did.
I don't know. All right. Well, it does. Yep, it says coming back. So I like these guys. They're good. In the car, Anthony Bartone. It will be with Lucas Stoltz, Maxi Martin, and Fabian Schiller. Well, guess what, guys? They actually have a pretty decent chance to win that race, at least in that class. So cool stuff there. All right. Trying to see if there's anything else. Oh, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Next year, the Long Beach, guess who returns after two year absence?
At Long Beach?
Yeah.
In IMSA or in?
It's a series race. It's a series.
Oh, it's Are the Stadium Super Trucks coming back?
No, they're always in.
Oh, that. Oh, okay. All right. Well, then, two-year absence is it the Lambos?
No.
No?
You're close. You're close. You're so close.
Is it the Porsche Cup? Or, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Porsche Cup. Okay.
Porsche Cup.
All right. That's cool.
They could actually have a pretty good series next year. They run at Sebring, Long Beach, Miami for the F1 race, right?
Mm-hmm.
Watkins Glen, Road America, Indianapolis, Road Atlanta for Petit, and then again at COTA. That's not bad. That's a pretty good series.
Yeah, I wish they also ran at Vegas. Just fill yeah, the
fair point.
The F1 races and be done with it.
Yeah. Yeah, fair point. Fair point. All right. Just trying to clean up the news and notes.
One note that I do have. As good of a show the F1 races at Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Ticket wise, I think you're getting screwed. Because
yeah.
on track action, yeah. you're only seeing the F1 cars and the Porsche Cup cars.
They didn't have F1 Academy, wasn't it? Oh, they're at Vegas, no. right? F1 Academy? I think they're at Vegas. I thought they were at Vegas.
Maybe.
I know the Ferrari Challenge Series is there. Yeah, it's garbage racing.
In post processing, I realized that. My mic was muted during this part of the conversation. Basically, just to kind of summarize what gets cut out here, I noticed that the F1 races, or this F1 race at COTA, only came with one support race, being the Porsche Cup Series. Great series. Glad that they were there. But my gripe was. If you're paying for an F1 event, to only be able to see on-track action of just the F1 cars and the Porsche Cup cars, I think you're just getting screwed over in terms of the ticket you're paying for. Like, if you're going to a racetrack, all the IMSA races, IndyCar races, like, there's plenty of support series that go there. So from the time that the track is open to the time the track is closed, there's something always on track, more or less. Whereas with this event, I just noticed that in COTA that there really wasn't a whole lot going on track aside from these two series. So there were just big chunks of time where there was just dead track time. And whereas for next week in Mexico, there's going to be four support series in addition to F1. So you're going to have F1 and then this GT series, TCR series, and a Formula 4 series. Sorry, there's going to be only three of them. But four series in total that'll be on track. My whole point of this is when you go to a racetrack, you want to see the on-track product. And it's the... It regardless of what you put on track, you got to put something out there. And any series would love to be the support series of F1 for whatever Grand Prix weekend it is in whichever country. And I mean, we touched on it with Vegas, where the Ferrari Challenge series is also going to be there. And I think there was one more series as well. But like, you just got to fill the track time, because you can't have dead time, and you know, if when people go to these races, like, some of them go because it's a status thing, and that's fine, but like, if that's the case, then like, you as racing and motorsports, you have a opportunity to showcase other racing series than just F1, and show people that there's more than just F1, which I know that's not, you know, that can be, you know, good and bad in whichever way you want to take. But like, there is other series than just F1 out there, and the whole point of going racing and watching what's exciting out there to do all that would just be a cool opportunity to have. Anyways, we'll get back into it.
All right. Just quick thing here. We had some action today at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We had...
It was... It's a GT... It's called GTM Super Copa. And then TCR Mexico. And then the other support series is the F4.
They have a Mexican F4 series?
It's the acronym's NACAM. So
okay.
I think so it's going to be the Mexican F4 series. Canada.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Anyways, so. In Indy today, we had cars on track on the super on the speedway, on the big track. We had Pato Palo. Oh, Alex is back from court. We had Ed Carpenter racing with Alex Rossi, and Rahal Letterman Lanigan had Takuma on track.
All right.
Very exciting there. I love having Takuma at the track. Always a threat. All right. I think that's all the news I could cultivate. Oh, next year. Here's something. Lamborghini Super Trofeo will air on the Racer Network next year. Here's their series. Oh, this is fantastic. Wow. This is weird. Wait a minute. Why is this not going to be live? Oh, it's going to be live on IMSA, but won't be live on... Oh, that's weird. Yeah. They're replaying the 25 season? Oh, it's the 25 season. They're replaying it. Oh, okay. Never mind. Not as exciting as I thought it was. Apologize. Misread the article. Should have done my homework on that one. All right, that's all I got. Are we? We need to make our picks now.
We do, but there was one more.
Do you have something?
There's one more sports car
news
story, and I. Okay. It's similar with the Pfaff and Lamborghini story, where McLaren. Or United Autosport is not going to be running the McLaren GT3 car next year. It's going to be Garage 59,
I think. Oh, okay,
because they're gearing up for the hypercar. Yeah.
Okay.
So.
All right. That's exciting.
Oh, and actually, I got one more that I remember.
Go ahead.
The WEC posted their rules and regulations for next year. BOP is going to be more done. It's going to be done more along the lines of success ballast rather than tweaking the cars individually. It's interesting, so I guess we'll see how it plays out, and maybe they'll find a natural balance where all the cars sit in at that point. I guess the only thing that doesn't help per se is if you go to a track or if you go from one track to another and they're just completely different in their styles, and if one car suits the first track but like doesn't suit at all the next track, then they're going to get success ballast put on them at a track that they're even they're going to be now even worse at.
Mm-hmm.
And then the caveat with this is that the success ballast is going to pertain to all events other than Le Mans, where there's still going to be the Le Mans specific BOP that'll be applied.
So, okay.
The other note that was in all this is apparently if you're going to be a new manufacturer entering WEC, you have to be a hybrid.
Oh.
So, I mean, like, Aston Martin, for example, is the only naturally aspirated car in the field. And I mean, in previous seasons, it was also the Van Wall Alpine at one point, and I think the
Glickenhaus?
Yes, the Glickenhaus, that was it. I can't remember if the Asada Foschini was or not.
Yeah.
But, so the Aston will be grandfathered in, basically, at this point, but you're just telling future manufacturers that you have to come with a hybrid solution to this.
Okay.
I think once again, IMSA's just... WEC is only shooting themselves in the foot right now.
Yep. And at any rate, you could end up having Aston saying, screw that, and they're going to put three cars over here. And other manufacturers who don't really want to go the hybrid route will be over here too. So, yeah, not 100% agree. And that's what IMSA should do, is continue on its course and not worry about what goes on.
Yeah, which, again, is... It just gets back into this, you know, convergence talk. And I know I think I've gone back and forth on this because I've heard a good perspective and then a bad perspective on it. And it's just like, I still don't understand this picture that we're going after. Cause like, if you want more manufacturers, you got to leave the rule book open enough to have this kind of variety. And it's great variety. Like, you have a hybrid V8 behind the Cadillac. I would hope the Ford throws in a hybrid V8 as well, into their machine. Because if they put another dying frog of whatever was in that EcoBoost Ford GT motor, like, that, gotta put that away. Like, bring the Mustang engine and slotted it. Like, you got to compete on the noise level if you want to have just the coolness factor. Because like, the Aston's gonna start winning soon, and like, not only will it be fast, but it also sound great. Yeah. So you got to come as a manufacturer. You got to come and compete on that level if you can.
Mm-hmm.
But Ford is really the only one. I'm getting a little bit away from the topic at hand. But like, Ford's a big one that can come with a loud motor. McLaren, I think their motor is a V8. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Or it might be a V6. Anyways, I think they had a chance to do something cool, but didn't. And then, same deal with Lamborghini, but I think Lamborghini's moving away from their V10s and they're going more into the V8 route, on some of their supercars. So, unfortunately, I don't see them competing with that. And then I think Ferrari was probably the other one that dropped the ball in that sense of just not throwing in a big motor, but at least I give. what I give Ferrari credit for doing is actually building a true hybrid car, in the sense where you have it's just like how Toyota was and even Audi and Porsche of the LMP1 days, where internal combustion motor is in the back and your electric motor is up in the front driving the front wheels, and it's not this combined LMDH solution that's just all in the back kind of deal. Yep. Not that, like, it's just different, but at least Ferrari's choice makes sense with what they're doing.
Yeah. Good stuff there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Picks.
Get into picks.
Just to recap last week, Nate did the best, picked Max to win, but he also picked Leclerc on the podium. Almost had two out of the three picks there, with Leclerc being correct, but he just slotted back into third towards the end of the race. You had Max correct as well, and then that was it. And then for you, I had Norris correctly picked on the podium, just in the wrong position. So,
yeah.
Alrighty, Mexico.
So this week for Mexico, Nate from Parts Unknown has come in with Max, Oscar, and Charles.
This is Dark Horse Checo.
His dark horse is Alex Albon.
All right.
I am going to go with the following. Max, George, and Charles. My dark horse will be Carlos Sainz.
All right. I'm going to go backwards. My dark horse is going to be Behrman.
Ooh, he's been on a roll.
I've been trying to play the F1.
You can say that. He's been on a roll.
I agree. And also, he finished in the points in Austin, right?
Or was he just didn't he get that? Taken out?
No. It was Ocon that got taken out.
Oh.
No. He made a mistake. That's right. Because he tried passing Yuki in the stadium section there and went off track. Sorry. The point I was trying to make. I've been playing the F1 fantasy this season, and I don't have Behrman on my roster, but he's scored a lot of points in this. In this game, and it's just like these like quiet performances where he just is able to do really well in this point system that they have set up, and he's just racking them up, and like and then I was just sitting there, I was like, I don't remember him having really a good weekend outside of like the I think it was Hungary, where they finished high up, and just, you know, have a really good race for Haas in general. But other than that, like, I've always, like, they've just kind of been down on the bottom, and they're either like just outside the points or like they're just near the back, not as far back as Alpine, but you know, But yeah, I guess a quiet season for Behrman, and I guess Haas is a team we can probably look at and review in a couple of races time, just to see where they sit in the standings versus probably the expectations of them going into it. I'm not gonna pick Max to win, because again, I don't want to put this curse on him, because we got to try and do everything possible on our end to keep this alive. So I'm going to go with the dagger in the championship, Piastri first. Lando second.
Okay.
And Max third.
That is.
So.
Oh, good on you.
Yeah. All right. This weekend is F1 in Mexico, like we just went through. Big weekend in Martinsville for NASCAR, cutoff race, but also more importantly, the MX-5s are running on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
The V8 supercars are at Gold Coast.
Gold Coast, that's correct, yes.
And also MotoGP is at Malaysia in Sepang.
MotoGP.
So.
Excellent.
Some good action this weekend.
All right, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.